Entwined is a podcast about how so much of the world around us is wound or twisted together. This podcast strives to bear unexposed or indiscernible connections using historical and anecdotal sources. I am P.S. McKay, and along with Elliot Gladstone, this is Entwined. Hello. Before we begin, I just want to give my heartfelt thanks to you, the listeners. In just over 2 months, we have gone from just a few family members doing us a favor to a broader listener base than we could have ever hoped for. And to show our gratitude, I wanted to announce a couple exciting developments as we continue making these shows. For those of you looking to support the show, please head over to our Patreon page or check out the support section of the website. Remember, on Patreon, you are able to earn rewards for your support in the form of colored transcripts, additional shows, and behind-the-scenes content. It really is easy. If you like the show, consider supporting our creativity for as little as $1 a month. One of the levels allows you to receive a t-shirt or a tank top so you can represent Entwined wherever you go, even when you're not listening to the podcast. So check it out, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at Entwined Podcast for real-time announcements and some weird musings from both Elliot Gladstone and myself. Thanks again for listening, and stay twined. Do you ever think about the boogeyman? You know, the one that would be in our deepest nightmares, waiting for us in the dark? It was always in the dark where he lurked, waiting for us to make some simple and mindless mistake, only to snatch our lives in the blink of an instant. But it was the dark where he lived. I thought about why the dark is such a universal place of fear for most of us. And if you claim that you never ran up those stairs a little bit faster to get out of the basement because you could feel the boogeyman's hands just a breath away, then I call you a dirty liar. We invented flashlights for a reason, and it goes back to the beginning of the human mind, the very beginning of the development of our psyche. We were never always the top of the food chain. Being a proto-human or early hominid, we had very few defenses to the predators that lurked out there. Think about it. You know, a porcupine can shoot needles at a threat. A skunk? That's a bad day. Other prey can jump 20 feet high to escape the clutches of their monster. But us? Yeah, maybe we could try scratching at it a little while, as its jaws broke our neck in a single and forceful bite. It's not a coincidence that the dark is central to so many of our fears. We can't see what's there, and what we can't see, we can't run from. If you can't run from it, the boogeyman is going to get you. The discovery and control of fire was the single most important development of human advancement. For the first time, we could control the dark and keep the monsters at bay. Finally, we could be on the offensive and really make sure our tribe was safe from the dripping fangs that lurked in the outer ring of darkness. A darkness that it needed to prey upon us. And with the fire, we sat and ate. We cooked. We told stories. Anthropologists confirmed that it was cooked meat that was responsible for the development of growth of our frontal lobes. The part of the brains that allow us to reason, to problem solve, and to create. Fire granted us one more luxury that was devoid in the world of darkness. It gave us free time. It allowed us to stay awake in the darkness and to look into the dancing flames that licked upon those hot logs and fainted and grew. It showed us the shapes that normally don't exist in the physical world, and with our developing lobes, it allowed us to imagine greater and greater things. Fire sparked our imaginations. Fire brought us something to work with and to develop. It allowed us to grow in an otherwise stunting world. It gave us control. Let's talk about urine. Yeah, not my favorite subject either, but there's a purpose, I promise. Urine, in the most scientific terms of the definition, is a liquid byproduct of the body secreted by the kidneys through a process called urination or micturition and excreted through the urethra. Thank you, Wikipedia. And in the more common parlance, it can happen to someone when they are too scared or laugh too hard. thank you horror movies and HBO comedy specials. But my reason for bringing up urine is that it was another huge development in human society. Urine was used in ancient Rome and many other recent societies as a way to prep textiles such as wool for dyeing. If you were to go back in time, any tailor shop in a Roman city would have a large vat by the front door where passersby could help contribute to the business by, well, relieving themselves into it. In public. Yeah, it was a different time, but it was necessary in our development. Listen, just stay with me, I promise I have a point here. As human society developed, and we became more agrarian, we needed new ways to control the weeds that forever seeped into our crops, and urine was a literal solution that helped. Undiluted urine could burn the roots of developing plants, allowing for growth control. If you diluted it, urine contains a lot of nitrogen and other dissolved phosphates and potassium that are required by plants for healthy growth and development. While a great tool in development of our agrarian society, it was limited by the amount the supplier could provide. There's only so much that can be made in a certain amount of time. It was still a, quote, natural society, end quote. Which brings us to 1828. And the end of the natural world, quotation marks can still be used there. German scientist Friedrich Wöhler produced a synthetic urea in the lab from inorganic compounds. Now, I'm not a chemist, and I won't be able to do the chemical formulas justice, but I want you to step back and think about that for a second. A man, by all accounts created by God, went ahead and created an organic compound from non-organic items. Today, it's not a crazy idea. We live in a world where everything is manufactured. It's easiest that way. But back then, you may as well have been playing the role of God. You were intervening in the natural life cycle. Suddenly, you needed urine for your crops. You no longer needed to collect it from natural biological cycles. You could have it on demand. An on-demand world that didn't need nature? Yeah, that's a huge leap in scientific progress. Because it wasn't just urine that could be manufactured. If we could make artificial urine, then couldn't we make other organic compounds? Other compounds that are more specialized? Oh yeah. By the way, that orange juice you drink, the one that is fortified with vitamin C, that vitamin C is 90% manufactured and thrown into the orange juice solution. And that's okay, it really is. Natural vitamin C and manufactured vitamin C are the exact same in their chemical structure. I know the idea of Frankenfood has permeated the culture, but the fact that we manufacture these compounds is just another example of us being able to control our environment a little bit more. To push back that limiting darkness that housed the boogeyman and prevented us from growing, now we were practically in control of society and humanity as a whole was the true beneficiary. We were finally at the top of the food chain and in control of the organic. When it comes to controlling the organic, you have to be able to destroy as well. Our society has exploded in the last 200 years, and much of that had to do with the ability to control crops. And one of those ways was with pesticides. Which brings me to methyl isocyanate, otherwise known as MIC. Now, this is an intermediate chemical provided for the catalyst for several uses, like making different rubbers and adhesives. It also was central to the production of pesticides, and as our population has grown, we have needed different and new pesticides. It was in a small city, most had never heard of, at least most in the West anyway. There was a fairly industrious economy that focused on several factories near the city center. The early morning of December 3rd, 1984 would have been like any other. As in any other city, the majority of its population was asleep and secure in their homes and beds, resting for the next day's necessities. But here, a sinister entity rolled through the town. It was silent and odorless, but when it penetrated the walls and the windows of the most middle-class Indian population, it was a deadly killer. Thousands upon thousands were riveted awake, choking and rubbing their eyes. There was no relief. The toxic cloud continued through the city of small homes and concentrated shanty towns, infecting one after another and another. All told, the city of Bhopal, India, lost 3,800 people that night. Another 11,000 were branded with a terrible respiratory disability as MIC ravaged and burned their lungs beyond healing. But in all actuality, the casualties were more likely in the hundreds of thousands as the years have gone by and that nasty chemical made its presence felt. I wouldn't be able to imagine being torn from that slumber, only being choked into a new one. Investigation into the cause proved difficult. Many theories came about. One such was a disgruntled worker that intentionally failed to flush the piping one night. In that same vein, it could have been sheer negligence in flushing the pipes with water that night. It was a normal procedure, but extremely dangerous. MIC is extremely reactive with water, and a possible separate but consequential failing of the cooling unit would have made it much more reactive than normal. It didn't help that MIC was stored in larger tanks than necessary, and that reaction was undergone with such force that one of the concrete tanks lifted, breaking through the surface of the earth. Lessons were learned from that day, safety protocols were put in place, and the use of smaller, self-contained tanks became the norm. But it was too late for the rows and rows of bodies that were pulled from their once secure homes the next few days. There was no running from the boogeyman that night. Ironic, considering that this development of this chemical was part of our civilization in maintaining control of our lives, making things easier, and keeping the darkness at bay. Yet that very chemical became the source and example of our most basic fears. In March of 2004, the European Space Agency set out to do a first for all mankind and launched the Philae lander. Its mission, along with its Rosetta spacecraft, was to intercept Comet 67P. It would take 10 years before the lander could rendezvous with the massive block of ice spiraling through the darkness. But on November 12, 2014, Philae completed the first ever landing on the nucleus of a comet. I remember Twitter erupting as I scrolled through the updates. It was incredibly impressive. While the comet was massive at 2.7 miles by 2.5 miles, a body that size would have very weak gravity. So the lander was supposed to use harpoons that struck the surface as it got closer, thereby being more secure in the pre-planned landing site. Things didn't go as planned. The harpoons failed to fire properly and Philae made a soft landing, bouncing off the surface and in a slow tumble. It bounced again and came to a final landing in a rough terrain under the shadow of some outcropping or cliff. This was catastrophic, for the batteries were unable to get the sunlight it needed to recharge, and it sits dormant now, hiding from its orbiting partner Rosetta. All was not lost. In the telemetry before the landing, Philae was able to detect several organic compounds never before seen on a comet, including acetamide, acetone, propionaldehyde, and methyl isocyanate, the same chemical from Bhopal that was being manufactured there, occurred naturally in the darkness of space, making Comet 67P its home. Yes, the boogeyman certainly likes the dark. Thank you for listening. Entwined is a podcast that releases every other week and is written, recorded, and produced by P.S. McKay and Elliot Gladstone. This episode was written by P.S. McKay. Please tune in next time to see what Elliot Gladstone has in store for us. For more information about the show and the authors, please check out entwinedpodcast.com or visit our Twitter page at entwinedpodcast.